Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Many community groups, nonprofits, and organizations across Northumberland struggle to raise money. It is highly competitive, and donor dollars are limited. That is why it is becoming increasingly important how the dollars are used efficiently, effectively, and with full transparency and accountability. To meet this new reality, the United Way has revamped how it is going to distribute its funds to organizations. Executive Director Alicia Van Dyne will outline the changes and explain how it all works under the new system. Have a listen and see what you think about where your donations go.
I'm so pleased to have with me today Northumberland United Way Executive Director Alicia Van Dyne. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you so much for having me today, Robert.
The United Way recently announced it is accepting applications for its new community investment strategy. Now, organizations have until August 25th to get in their applications. That is about 3 weeks from now. Now, if I recall, these were informally called community grants or money that was given to what you refer to as community partners. This includes things like Backpack for Kids, Northumberland Eats, Period Promise, just to name a few. Now, on the surface, it sounds like a semantic change, going from using the terms grant to investments. Why did the Northumberland United Way board and staff decide it was necessary to make this change?
So, Robert, for us, the investments were actually the investments that we made in other not-for-profits. It wasn't always necessarily our backpacks and our period promise, but really the investments that we make in the other organizations. And traditionally, they were known as sort of community impact funding or annual allocation. And so that's really where the change. We're really trying to put everything together as community investments. So not only our programs, like you mentioned, backpacks and different things, but we also want to include the investments that we make. And for us, in the change of how we are investing, we really wanted an opportunity to not just have one application and one application fits all, because what we were finding is that it's hard to evaluate things when you push them all together. And so we took a look at how can we do better? How can we ask better questions? How can we have more transparency in how we fund? And so in this development of the program investment allocation, we are asking our charitable partners to choose a program that they operate that United Way could make a core investment in. And that core investment is really aligned to our three pillars: poverty to possibility, kids can be all they can be, and building strong communities.
I'd like to go back for just a second, because you said a lot in there, and I think it's important we unpack some of it. The first one is, before you came out with this new investment strategy, can you give us some of the examples? I gave some of the partners that you work with, but can you give some of the examples of the community grants that you handed out and some of the organizations that received those?
Yes. So, for example, one of the organizations that we supported was Rebound Youth, and we supported their Triple P parenting program. Another one of the allocations was for Community Care Northumberland for their seniors subsidy program for Meals on Wheels and driving. Another organization that we have supported is Big Brothers Big Sisters for their Go Girls and in-school mentoring programs.
Now, you talk about aligning funding with the most pressing needs and priorities in our area. Fair enough. But why was the old method not sufficient to do this?
Well, Northumberland County is changing and our demographics are shifting. And so one of the things that we've been doing over the last, 6 months, we've been doing a Community Matters series. And within that Community Matters series, we've been doing surveys, of course, to local residents, but we've also been gathering local professionals in the not-for-profit world to find out what are the challenges that they are facing. What are some of the things that they're seeing a growth in? And we wanted to make sure that our new streams would really help to address some of those challenges that we heard from experts are becoming things. So, for example, food insecurity has certainly come to the forefront, and we wanted to develop a stream that was related to helping organizations and clients.
You talk about this in terms of a strategy. What makes it strategic compared to before?
I think because it was only one stream and all of the organizations, it was sort of a one size fits all, at least for the last number of years. And so for us to be able to evaluate in our community impact committee, we were often comparing apples to oranges. And that can be very difficult. And so one of the things in our new strategic approach is we're asking the charitable organizations to align better to our pillars and the outcomes that we want to see with those pillars. And so when I say things like that, what I sort of mean in terms of our kids can be all they can be, one of the outcomes that we wish to achieve within that is that kids are ready for learning. That's one of the outcomes. How does the program align to the pillars of United Way? And we never really asked that question. And in some cases, people could say, oh, my program helps people living in poverty, it helps children, and it helps build strong communities. But it didn't really align necessarily to the outcomes that United Ways are striving to meet. And so this way, we're asking better questions. How can we better evaluate? And so this way, we can put all of the children's requests into one and make some decisions based on outcomes that are specific to what we want to achieve with children's. Whether it's poverty reduction, how does this fit better into poverty reduction? How does this build stronger communities? And so just by asking better questions, we're going to be able to really align what does United Way wish to accomplish, and those wishes of accomplishment are fed by the input from our charitable partners.
There's a lot of language that's being used, and I want to seek some clarity so that the listeners can fully understand. You talk about partners, you talk about programs, you talk about community organizations and community grants. Can you parse that out so that we understand better what is collapsing here and then what is expanding? So what's being lost, and what is new so that we understand it a little more clearly, please?
So I would say in terms of what's collapsing, I think that that's probably the best place to start. The programs that were called annual allocations would be closing in the sense of it's not just an annual allocation. In some cases, that annual allocation was a monthly payment to the local not-for-profits. It will really depend on the needs of the partner. It could be that it is a monthly payment, but it also could be that it's a one-time payment, depending on what their needs are as well. So in terms of collapsing, it's not just a this is the way that we do it. We wish to be much more responsive to the needs of our partners. When we talk about programs specifically for United Way, those are things like the backpacks for kids. That is things like our Period Promise program. Those are things like our Community Matters program. And so those are things that United Way does. Our team operates those programs. When we talk about our community partners, what we're referring to are the not-for-profits and charitable organizations that we make an investment in and or that we partner with. And so I'll give you an example of one of those that we partner with. During our recent community matters, we have been partnered with the Northumberland Legal Center to help host the events. And so some of the change in the language is not always just about the investment that we make in our community partner, but how can we collaborate with our community partners?
Let's talk about the four distinct funding streams that was in your press release. The first is the program investment allocation. Can you explain how that works?
Yeah, so that is more of our traditional investment. It is, we're asking for applications that are at a maximum of $15,000. And those are to move the three pillars of United Way. And so one of those could be all kids that can be. And really, we're trying to help children and youth reach their potential. From poverty to possibility, which helps to meet basic human needs and move people out of poverty, and healthy people, strong communities, which really is about improving opportunities for people to access local resources and programs and services. So we're asking our not-for-profit partners to be able to apply for a program that fits within one of those three pillar areas. And so this has been our traditional, what I would call allocation or community impact. There hasn't been a lot of change in that. It's just that some of the outcomes have been updated related to our new Community Matters information.
Will there be a monitoring process that will ensure that the money is given is producing tangible results?
Absolutely. So we ask of our partners to provide an interim report to us to make sure that the money is being that has been allocated and where they are in terms of their program. There's also a final report that is made. And so as part of that, we then gain our impact stories that we're able to share with the community. So, you know, if you think of the example of Rebound Youth, who last year received funding for the Triple P parenting program, we asked Rebound to provide an interim report to tell us how are you doing halfway through. Let us know if there's anything that we can be doing to help you. And then at the end, they provide a final report to tell us how many people were impacted, where did those folks live, and a series of questions that really help us to make sure that the money is being allocated in the proper way within their organization.
Another one of those four streams is something called Haven for All. It is aimed at housing and people who are unhoused. How does that work?
And so this is brand new. This is one of the new things that we are doing with Haven for All. And we have two new streams that we've opened up as part of that. And so what we're asking not-for-profits to do is apply on behalf of their clients. And so within Haven for All, one of the things that we have learned, we unfortunately don't have the dollars that we can go and build new buildings for affordable housing, and we just don't have those kind of resources. But what we can do is keep people safe in their own home. And so these new strategies, one of them is called diversion funds. And so we're asking not-for-profits on behalf of their clients to apply for things that could be emergency home repairs that keep the residents safe for them. It could be a security deposit or a first month's rent if they've been forced to leave where they're currently living. Utility payment that might help them stay in their home, or if there's a transportation or relocation assistance that we can provide to keep people housed, and so other creative solutions, and that we've sort of left that one broad, but really diversion funds are meant for a way to divert people who may be a hair's breadth away from having to enter a shelter. And so in that first concept of Haven for All, that diversion fund is the first within that. The second portion of that is rental subsidies for seniors. One of the things that we've been learning is that seniors are the fastest growing demographic entering into poverty in Northumberland County. And we've been seeing, you know, rent evictions that have been happening. We've seen affordable housing, certainly, you know, decrease, and we've had some wonderful increases I know that the county has just put into place, but we wanted to be able to provide some rental assistance to some folks who are living on the most limited income and who are facing the probably the worst portion of our housing crisis. And again, this is the not-for-profit applying on behalf of a client who they have already vetted to know that they are truly in need.
People living rough in Northumberland is a very controversial topic for the public. How does the approach that you just described to us fitting into other efforts that are going on within the community and yet serving the unhoused?
You know, I think it's taking pressure off of those shelter systems so that they could probably help more folks that are living rough. You know, we don't want someone to enter into shelter. If we could provide them a rental subsidy that keeps them at a shelter, that keeps that bed open for someone who is living rough. And so what we're trying to accomplish with these two things are keep people in the housing environment that they have now so they're not forced to enter shelter.
The next stream is called Northumberland Eats. This is for food security. Again, can you explain this one?
Yes, absolutely. There's three different sort of substreams under Northumberland Eats. Northumberland County can feed Northumberland County, and we wanted to really be able to support our not-for-profits who are doing three different things. One of them is providing communal meals or soup kitchens or places that people can go to get either a free meal or a very low cost meal. And so within the first stream, which is called Feed, we're supporting not-for-profits to be able to continue to do the work that they are doing in that field because they're seeing such vast increases in the numbers. And so we wanted to be responsive of that need. And so we've developed this special stream for them. The second stream is our Grow stream. And this is helping our local food banks and food hubs to be able to purchase produce and proteins from our local farmers and our local food producers so that they can bring that local food into the current food system. You know, because we have this amazing abundance here in Northumberland County, and it would be a wonderful way to help not only support local farms, but also bringing in to for folks that are needing as well. Because, you know, it's the peas and the cans of pasta and all of those things that are donated and always so appreciated, but they don't necessarily get the hamburger or the chicken or the lettuce and the carrots and all of those things. And so we wanted to develop an open stream for our food providers of food banks and community hubs to be able to make the purchases for the supplies that they need within the produce and proteins world. And so the third stream is really our essential food, grocery cards, and of course, or food hampers. And so one of the things that we heard at Community Matters was that some local folks, they just need a little bit of extra support in terms of being able to purchase some groceries. And we thought this was such a tangible way to be able to help those folks. And so local not-for-profits will apply on behalf of their clients. So the first two streams are meant to support the organizations that are doing the work. And the third stream is really meant to help those individuals who are struggling.
Period Promise is the final stream. This involves free menstrual products, which is not a very glamorous thing to do, nor is it something that many people may be aware of as an issue. How did this one get on the United Way's radar?
You know, the genesis of this program actually started from United Way in British Columbia when they were providing hygiene to, if you might remember, in the early 90s, the Skid Row that was developing in Vancouver and downtown Vancouver. And they had such success with it that they really pitched to United Ways that we all get behind this very unglamorous topic. And so it came to United Way Northumberland about 5 years ago. And in the 5 years, we've distributed just over 50,000 products, you know, here, certainly in Cobourg and Port Hope. It's such a tangible way to help someone. And so in this new allocation, we wanted to provide some new cabinets that house products, and that way we can advertise where those cabinets exist. And so they could exist in a local food bank, they could exist in a local not-for-profit. It depends on what is available in each of the communities, but having a place where people can go and get the supplies that they need. We'll also be including some seniors' incontinence products as well within that cabinet structure, because we know that not everybody requires feminine hygiene products, but they may need some additional supports. So we kind of look at it as a way to incorporate more needs in a nice package.
In your 2024 financial report, the United Way gave out about $200,000. That was about 8% less than in 2023. How much is allocated this year for these programs and these streams that you've described to me earlier?
So that 200,000 is specific to the program investment allocation and not encompassing of all of the program investments that we make. And so last year we made just over, I think the numbers in the high 300s might just be over the early fours. So this year, with the new allocations that we are opening up and the student nutrition grants that we've talked about, I know before, we're actually going to be investing more dollars in the community than we have for a number of years. And so we're able to do that because donors are seeing that we are targeting our results differently, and those dollars that they donate to us allow us to do more in the community.
What's the actual dollar figure then that you hope to be handing out?
I'm looking at over the 400,000 mark this year with all of the program investment, all of the allocations that we would be making in terms of our partnerships and our student nutrition grants, all of those things will come up just over the 400,000 mark.
If anyone is interested in submitting an application, where can they go to get the forms?
Everything is located on our website at mynuw.org. There is a spot that pops up right on the front that talks about our new investment strategy, but they can also find it by going through our menu system, under the What We Do and under the Community Funding and Grants page. And so all of these streams are listed there. They can click through. Any of the applications are all accepted online now. If there's any questions, they can certainly call into our office, 905-372 6955, and we can certainly help if you're having any issues. But we encourage people to visit our website, get the information about these new funding opportunities, and submit. We don't know what the needs are until people tell us what the needs are. And so it's kind of a double-edged thing. If pe just because you get necessarily turned down, it's not necessarily because you're not doing great work. It may just be a limitation of funding, but then we don't know what the need is. And so I encourage people apply, because that's how we can make change. If we're seeing a trend, like for some example, we're seeing a lot more newcomers that might need support, or there might be something that's happening specifically in the Crammy Township that is requiring some additional funding. If people don't apply, then we don't necessarily know what the needs are for those communities. So we encourage people to apply. It's not an onerous application process. Everything is done online. And if there is any questions, just give us a shout, and we're happy to talk you through any applications.
And the deadline, when, what is that again?
It is August the 25th, which is just over 3 weeks, I think, from today, or a little short of 3 weeks. Our Haven for All and our Northumberland Eats will open quarterly. And so our program investment will only be accepting applications up until August, but the others will be doing secondary and third as funding allows us.
Alicia Van Dyne. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks, Robert.
That was Northumberland United Way Executive Director Alicia Van Dyne. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.